Let's read from Luke chapter 2, verses 39 through 40. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Tonight we want to learn how our Lord, the Christ child, grew. And we want to challenge all these boys and girls to listen really well tonight and learn how you can grow to be like Jesus. How many of you want to be like Jesus someday? I hope you do. And every one of us can be like him if we go to his word and if we learn from him. And he's the best example of all to follow, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to learn more about that tonight and how to grow like Jesus. How many of you moms and dads want to be more like the Lord Jesus? Amen. And how many of you children know that the greatest gift we ever receive is the gift of Jesus Christ in our heart. And so we want to be thankful for that. And let's pray right now and ask God to bless our service, okay? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for boys and girls and just for the privilege that we have to influence their lives. Bless our service tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you can be seated. Now, boys and girls, if you think you can sit real, real still, Pastor's going to let you stay right up here on that platform and help me preach. Can you do that tonight? All right. So you guys come right over here and sit down. And you guys scoot over here a little closer, okay? And get right in here and sit down. You can't wave at your mom. You can't wink at your dad. You just have to look right at Pastor. Can you help do that? Okay. All right. Just look right up here. No wiggle worms, because it would be terrible to have to get a spanking in front of the whole church. Okay? That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? All right. So you guys listen up, and we're going to go to the Word of God tonight. Luke chapter 2, verse 39. You know, when I think of children, I think of the blessing that they are. The Bible says that children are an heritage of the Lord, and we thank the Lord for children tonight. And when I think of Christmas, I think of children. Because, first of all, I love to see their bright eyes and hear their joyful sounds in the season. I enjoyed the orchestra from the young people just a moment ago. But what a great opportunity we have to influence children at Christmas time. And you know, as we think about the Christmas story, we're mindful of the fact that we're celebrating the fact that God took the form of a man, but he came first as a little baby. He was born in Bethlehem as a child, a little baby. And there's nothing more exciting than the birth of a child. And the Bible tells us about the birth of Jesus. We've studied that on Sundays. But in the verse before us, it tells us a little bit about how Jesus grew at every stage of life. Now, earlier tonight, while we were having some pinto beans and chow chow at the chapel home tonight for dinner, my two grandsons, they're up here. In fact, come up here, Chandler and Camden. Where are you guys at? Come right up here for a minute. Chandler, grab that microphone right there, would you? And they came into my study at home, and they were telling me how tall they were. So, Camden, how tall are you?
4'11".
4'11". All right. How old are you, Chandler? 4'2". All right. So the Lakers probably won them next year, don't you imagine? 4'6" and 4'2". Well, you know what? Or 4'11" and 4'2". Do you know what the Bible says? That Jesus grew. Jesus grew. And we're going to learn how he grew. You guys can be seated. We're going to learn how the Lord Jesus grew. You see, the Bible says in verse 40, the child grew. Let's say that, boys and girls. The child grew. One more time.
The child.
So just like you're growing, the Lord Jesus began to grow. But he didn't just grow physically. He also grew in some other wonderful ways. And we want to see those ways tonight. I believe Jesus gives a great example for the children. And he gives a great example for all of us. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52 says, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Now, the word increased means that he was lengthened and promoted, and God was raising up in him as he grew physically, so were the attributes of God being seen spiritually through him. I love one of the phrases about Jesus. It's a prophetic phrase. I put it in your notes, moms and dads. Isaiah 53:2 says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground." Now think about that phrase, a tender plant. Can you say that?
A tender plant.
That's one of the words that we read for the Lord. Now, this pulpit here, this is made out of hard wood. Sometimes Pastor bangs it. Listen to this. That's not tender, that's hard, very hard. But these plants up here, they're very tender. They move so easily. They're very beautiful and soft. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is like a tender plant. Jesus is tender and beautiful and sensitive to us. And God doesn't want his children to be hard like this. He wants our heart and our life to be tender to him. Sometimes people, when they grow up and they get older, they get very hard and cynical, and they're not receptive to the things of God, and they have no room in the inn for the Lord Jesus. But Jesus was a tender, tender plant as he grew. And I want you to see three ways that our tender Jesus grew in his life. The first thing the Bible tells us is the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. He grew in his spirit. Now, what is our spirit? The Bible says that Jesus increased in his spirit. And for each of us, from the time of our salvation until the time we see the Lord someday, there should be a continual growing in our spirit. The Bible says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, God wants us to be growing physically, but spiritually, all the way until we see the Lord Jesus face to face someday in heaven. The Bible tells us here in this chapter, verse number 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature. Now, the word stature speaks about how Jesus grew as a child. He was a little tiny baby in Bethlehem. And then he began to grow a little more and a little more. And pretty soon he was helping Joseph in the carpenter shop. He was growing in stature. He was one time 4'2 and one time 4'11. And he was growing in stature. It speaks about his physical growth. But as we think about his stature, it wasn't just about his physical growth, but Jesus also was growing in his growth spiritually in the way he manifested God for us. You see, the Bible tells us that he grew in his spirit. The child grew and waxed strong in spirit. And the word here speaks about that which feels and that which thinks and that which decides. Let me tell you about the spirit of Jesus. He had a spirit of obedience, a spirit of obedience. Boys and girls, do you have a spirit of obedience? Sometimes when people get a little older than you and they become teenagers, they don't always obey like they should. So Jesus had a spirit of obedience. The Bible tells us in Luke 2 and verse 49, he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Jesus was always obedient to the Father. Moms and dads, are we obedient to the Father? Jesus was obedient from his spirit. Now, sometimes you'll see a child and you'll tell them something like, "I want you to take out the garbage," and they'll go, "Okay, I have to." But that's not the right spirit. They might take out the garbage, but Jesus obeyed from his heart and did the will of his Father. By the way, we ought not to witness or tithe or attend church with the wrong spirit. Amen. We ought to make sure that we have the right spirit tonight in everything that we do for the Lord. Jesus grew in his spirit. It says that about John the Baptist in Luke 1:80. The child grew and waxed strong in his spirit. Jesus had a wonderful spirit. He had a spirit full of grace and full of truth. Sometimes we see those who know a little bit of truth and they want to be judgmental of everyone based upon that truth that they know, but they don't always have grace towards people that are still growing. And Jesus was the perfect balance of grace and truth. And folks, let's not just be those that run around pharisaically with truth, but let's also have grace in our hearts for people that are growing in their Christian life. You know, a lot of times Baptists are good at saying, well, look at that person's teenagers. My. And I just can't believe that they had that on their radio. And you've got enough truth to make you dangerous. But Jesus was full of grace and truth. How many of you are thankful tonight for the grace of God? And that's what his spirit was. It was a spirit of grace and truth. It was wonderful in its balance. How's your spirit tonight? How's your attitude tonight towards the Lord? Perhaps tonight you could think about some gifts. How many of you have seen a gift yet under a tree? And if you've seen a gift, you have. Wow, you guys are blessed, all right? How many of you are thinking about a gift you might want to give to somebody? Been thinking about that? Pretty good. Well, I want you to think about some gifts that you can give if your spirit is right. Sometimes the best gifts are not gifts that you buy with money, but they're gifts that you give from your heart. Maybe you can stop a quarrel. Maybe you can tell someone you love them. Maybe you can give someone something anonymously and not even tell them it's from you. Just a surprise gift. Maybe you can turn away from wrath, or maybe you could visit someone in the hospital, or maybe someone in a nursing home who's all alone and they don't have anybody to visit them. You see, Jesus was full of grace. He thought of people who could give him nothing in return. So when we study the Bible about Jesus as a child, it says that he grew and he waxed strong in his spirit. And his spirit was a spirit of grace, and his spirit was a spirit of truth. And I'm going to tell you adults something. You never outgrow your need for a childlike spirit, for a spirit like the Lord Jesus Christ. He grew in spirit. But there's a second way that Jesus grew, not only in his spirit, but he grew in his wisdom. Now, notice what the Bible says there in verse 40. It says, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and he was filled with wisdom. All right, boys and girls, let's say that. Filled with wisdom. One more time.
Filled with wisdom.
Filled with wisdom. Now, some people have knowledge, but wisdom is the ability to use that knowledge rightly. And the Bible says that Jesus was filled with this wisdom. It says he increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Now, if we're going to have wisdom, we must first have wisdom toward God. We must have a heart that is leaning into the wisdom of our God. James chapter 3 and verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. You know, some people might say that they have wisdom, but the way to really know if you have wisdom is by how you act. For example, if someone's trying to get you to pick a fight with them and you say no, that's showing wisdom. If someone's trying to pinch and you get away from it, that's wisdom, to stay away from trouble. You see, every day God wants us to use wisdom. By the way, how many moms and dads would say, I still need lots of wisdom in my life. I need wisdom every day of my life to make the right decisions. Jesus grew in his spirit, but he grew in his wisdom. Look at 1 Corinthians, folks, tonight, chapter 3, verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. You see, this world thinks it's wise if they know a sports score. They think they're wise if they know a joke. But God says you're really wise if you know how to make biblical decisions and right decisions and keep a right testimony. That's what wisdom toward God is all about. And when you have wisdom toward God, and when you're walking with God and praying to God, then you can have wisdom towards others also. The Bible says in Colossians 4 and verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Boys and girls, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're a part of God's family, and you're inside the church. But there's a lot of people that are without. They don't know Jesus. And God commands us that as we have wisdom toward God, then that's going to be reflected by the way we live towards others. That means that when we're at the Christmas party, Mom and Dad, we have a testimony that's a wise testimony. That means that we have values that are values of wisdom, that our wisdom is toward God, and then our wisdom will also be toward men. And God wants every one of us to walk wisely and circumspectly in this day. And so Jesus grew in spirit. And oh, how we need Christians to have the right spirit, the right attitude. And Jesus grew in wisdom. And in his dealings with Mary, his mother, and Joseph, and even as he was in the temple as a little boy, the Bible tells us that people saw Jesus and they said, he has much wisdom. I believe that's a good testimony, that someone could see our life and could see the wisdom of God and take note of the fact that we've been reading our Bible and we've been praying and we've been listening in Sunday school and we're actually living out what we've been learning from the Bible. And this was the testimony of Jesus. He grew in spirit and he grew in wisdom. And then I want you to see, thirdly, he grew in grace. The Bible says in verse 40, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. All right, boys and girls, help me with that phrase. And the grace of God was upon him. Ready? Begin. And the
grace of God was upon him.
The grace of God was upon him. Grace is a divine enablement, and God can impart grace to every one of us as his children. And even in the life of Jesus as a little child, there was grace emanating. They could sense the enablements, the wisdom, the characteristics of God in the Lord Jesus as a child. Now, we are commanded in 2 Corinthians, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Luke 2:52, and he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, when you grow in grace, what are some of the things that happen in your life? First of all, there's going to be favor with God. Now, grace is a divine enablement. Grace is God working in and through our lives. And I want you to think about this. If you are growing in grace, grace is the favor of God. How many of you moms and dads would say, I need the favor of God in my life? In other words, I can't witness without God's favor. We can't parent without God's favor. We can't manage our finances without God's favor. As adults, we need the favor with God and the favor of God. And what an amazing thought that at such an early, early age, they would see Jesus and see the favor of his Father on his life. And Jesus was fully God at this age, we understand that, but that it was so visibly seen through him. He grew in favor with God. To grow in grace is not subjective, based merely on experience or emotional happenings. It is objectively related to Peter's key word, which says, the knowledge, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Growing in grace, then, is not merely emotional, but it is based upon the knowledge of who we are in Jesus Christ and who his Spirit is within us. And if we know the Lord as our Savior, and if we know that his Spirit is within us, then we can walk in the Spirit in favor with God and man. This is what Paul meant when he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul said, I want to know God. I want to have favor with God. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord and to have favor with the Lord. Now, some of you might say, well, I have favor with the boss at work and I can walk right into his office at any time. Or I have favor with someone in my family that can help me out of a difficult time. And it's good to have the favor of men. But oh, how short-lived that is. To know the favor of God is to know the most important avenue of blessing in your entire life. And it doesn't matter what blessing you've received. If you're a Christian, you know it's from the favor of God. And so here, this testimony of Jesus, he walked in favor with God. But then notice in verse 40, it says also, the grace of God was upon him. This speaks of favor with God, Luke chapter 2 and 52, and favor with man, favor with man. Now, when someone is walking in the favor of God, it's going to open doors with men. There's going to be opportunity to act wisely, to speak wisely. You know, we don't know what these children are on this platform. Some of them, some of these young men might someday be the president of a corporation. And it might start because they're sweeping the floor and someone sees them doing that well and they get favor. They have the favor of God, but because they're doing little things well, they get favor with men. And we don't know, there might be some young men here that would be preachers someday. There might be some young ladies here that would be tremendous educators or doctors. But where does that all begin? It begins with the favor of God, and it comes into favor with men. Do you realize today that there's a whole culture of business people that are looking for young people who have the favor of God in their life? We had an event here at the campus not long ago, and the president of the Chamber of Commerce of the Antelope Valley came up to me and he said, I'll tell you one thing. He said, I tell everyone in business that they ought to hire these young people from West Coast Baptist College. Now, he didn't know exactly what he was saying, but I'll tell you what he was saying. He was saying, those kids are different, he was telling me. They come on time. And they have a good attitude and they don't drink. In other words, they have favor with God, and because of that, they're getting favor with men. Don't ever buy into the idea that you have to be worldly in order to be blessed. What you want to focus on in your lives, moms and dads, is being godly, having favor with God, and God will bring the blessing with men. Can I get an amen to that? And it's really not about just trying to kiss up in the world sense. It's really about having favor with God, and then it's going to come with men as well. And so godliness with contentment is still great gain. Luke 2:46 says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Jesus was in the temple, boys and girls, and in the midst of all of the smartest people and older people, and he was listening to them, and he was asking questions, and even though he was small, even though he was a child, he had favor with all of those people because he had favor with God. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see a life totally yielded to the Lord. A life that has favor with God is a life that will have favor with men. And I believe this, there are doors that God wants to open for many of you, but you're not gonna see the door open if you're seeking just the favor of men. We must seek first the favor of God. And God will open those doors to us. Now you think about Jesus. He was born to an unwed mother. He was in a stable with poor parents. His life was threatened as a little child by Herod. His father died when he was young. As he grew, he had no place to lay his head, and ultimately he would be betrayed and crucified. Not the very best of situations. Yet, he is known as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and one day at the name of Jesus, every person is going to bow and declare that he is Lord. Every person that says bad words, every person that has a bad attitude, every person that says they don't believe in God, one day everybody will bow down to Jesus and confess that he is Lord. And so what we see is the importance of having favor with God. Now, it's obvious that he was God in the flesh. It's obvious that he had the favor of his Father. But isn't it a blessing that we who are saved are called the sons and daughters of God? We're a part of the family of God. And that means that we can have that favor from God as well. And we can have favor with others. I'll tell you an area where we need God's favor. That's in soul winning. Have you ever noticed that you cannot open up someone's heart? We can't do it. But God working through you will open those hearts, and God can give us favor. And so let's think about this verse tonight. It says in verse 40, and I'd like you to read it with me tonight, Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. Ready, begin. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. What a wonderful example we have tonight from our Savior. When our Savior was but a child, he was already giving us a great example. You know, the evangelists, the gospel writers under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, including here in Luke, they did not give us great lengthy portrayals of Jesus in his earlier years. In fact, the verses I've quoted to you tonight are the only verses, the time of Jesus in the temple and this paragraph here that tells us about how he grew. These are just the few verses we have on the childhood of the Lord. But I think it's important for us tonight to realize Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll close with this if you'll turn there very quickly. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. And I want every teenager and every child to hear this verse, but every parent as well. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. One simple verse that really helped me, and I hope it will help you. Ephesians 5, 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Let's say it together. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Boys and girls, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, folks, look right here. We'll be done. Let me tell you what's wonderful about children. Children have a trusting heart. If I was to stand down here tonight, and if I was to put out my arms to these children and say, all right, come to pastor, I've got you. Most of them, maybe all of them, would jump right into your arms, especially to their parents, because they trust you. And God says to us grown-ups, be ye followers of God as dear children. God is simply looking for us as adults to trust him like a child would trust him, to be the tender plant like Jesus is, not to get hard and inflexible and untrusting. By the way, haven't these children been absolutely perfect tonight? Amen. Wonderful children. And God says, I want you, moms and dads, to follow me like a child would follow me. Sometimes we say, It's a wonderful thing to preach, for example, in the Philippines. The culture there is so accepting. The other day I preached in elementary chapel, and I told my wife when I got home, I said, that's the easiest crowd I preach to all year long. They like it when I come into chapel. They clap when I come into chapel. Adults just do this. Try to crack this nut, preacher. Children like going to chapel. They like Bible stories. They like to sing. Hey, follow God like a little child. The other day, I was talking to Chandler back here about when he was in the hospital a few years ago. And he said, some things I don't like to remember, Papa. But he said, there's one thing I remember about the hospital. He said, that's the pancake man. Is that who he was, Chandler? The pancake man, yeah? The pancake man. And I got to tell you, the pancake man was just a goofy guy that came in every morning and took the breakfast order. And as sick as Chandler was and all the tubes and all of the different things, he'd kind of make jokes with them and he'd say, "What kind of pancakes you want today, Chandler?" And just had a little fun with him. And of all of the fantastic, brilliant doctors and all of the amazing radiologists and nurses and all of the people that had an impact on his life, he remembered the pancake man. So I want to say to you adults, just remember when you're around these children, you never know how God could use you to influence their life. And let us have a child's heart this Christmas toward the Lord and toward everyone else. Let's be gracious and tender like our Jesus was. Jesus was not a bully in the playground. Jesus was tender and loving and full of wisdom. And I think we all can learn from the little child Jesus during this Christmas season.